Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, and we're backing up just a little bit to kind of get going again. And sick last week, and I'm glad to be back. And I just want to pick up with you in the, let's say verse 13 of the 16th chapter of Matthew's gospel. One thing you have to understand, our Lord Jesus Christ was virgin born, so he's God. And born of a virgin, born under the law, you know, to do what? To redeem them that were under the law. Now, all of the things that were written about our Lord's birth, life, and death, you know, speak of the fact that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And sadly, in the day in which we live, you know, the Jews do not recognize Jesus to be their Savior. You know, there's a lot of history, a lot of money made in Jerusalem because of the fact that our Lord was born in Bethlehem and all that, had a public ministry throughout Judea. But the nation of Israel, because of the Roman Church and certain other of the early churches, were under extreme, trying to think of the right word, they hated them. I can't think of the correct word. But the Jews were hated without a cause. Jews were called Christ killers. I killed Christ because he died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you killed Christ. Your sins put him on the cross. And sometimes, you know, we look at life and death from a strictly human point of view. And most people think of death as cessation. Well, it's a cessation of the body being maintained by blood to live. But the Lord said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll give you unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. Well, at 91 years of age, sick last week, I realized, you know, it's no joke, folks. I know the Lord can take me at any time, or he could, as I've often thought, he could take me at his coming. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that close. And when we look at the nation of Israel, we look at Islam. Now, I don't know. I need another Bible. It's not in this one. Okay. Anyway, back in the 70s, I think it was, I shared some birth rates worldwide, you know, and how many people believe on the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, natural birth, spiritual birth. But typically, it was all about natural birth. And worldwide, back in, I think it was 1970. In 1970, worldwide, there was less than one birth per family nowhere in the world. Some had a little higher percentage rate, but, you know, basically it was down to 1%. A 1% birth rate cannot maintain the world. Yeah. So, in addition to that, the birth rate of the Muslims. Thank you. Mormon, Muslim, what difference? Anyway, the birth rate of the typical Muslim family who do not practice birth control and have large families, and many of them as many as, you know, a husband and 20 wives or more. But on average, the average Muslim has, you know, 12 to 15 children. We have less than 1.2%. We cannot maintain, you know. So what the Muslim thinks is going to happen, the Muslim thinks he's going to rule the world just by logistics. You know, we produce more children. Yeah. And from a natural standpoint, they're correct. But God controls these things. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming in his second coming. And events in the world, you know, they're insane. You know, any other reasoning doesn't explain it. They're just insane. The things that man wants, the things that man's afraid of, they're just insane. No one should be afraid of death. The Lord Jesus Christ came nearly 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, born under the law, to what? Redeem. That means buy back. To redeem them that are under the law. Now that's the reason he came. He gave the promise while he was here. Because I live, you shall live also. Now we can read this. And we have to trust that it's true. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ lived. Because for me, nearly 70 years now in January, 70 years ago, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I like to use the illustration of my mother asking me, simply because it's so simple. And we make such a big deal about getting our friends out to church. You know, Joanne and I arrived in Southern California with a seven-month-old baby, Debbie, you know, home on leave. Been home on an emergency leave the year before when my father had died. Mom made a very simple statement, and you're probably getting tired of it now. But think of the simplicity and think of what happened, okay? The simplicity, Mom said, I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go with me? Simple Dale said, I came to see you. If that's where you're going to be, that's where I'm going to be. It's not that difficult to get your friends and relatives to church. Did you ever ask them? You know, not a good time after drinking with them for 24 hours. And they said, I'm going to go to church. Would you like to go with me? That doesn't work too well. So, okay. We need to understand that we're in an interpersonal relationship with the Lord, and we're in an interpersonal relationship with one another and with the world. I was born to Adam. He's my father. So everyone in this room is related to me. You know, oh, we come down through different family lines, and some are closer related than others, but we all came from Adam. So what's the scripture say about all of us who came from Adam? As an Adam, what? All die. When I was young, well, I thought a lot about death when I was young, because I was either setting myself on fire, breaking a bone, or having a childhood disease that had very little what should I say, very, very little success rate in surviving. I don't even know whether people have rheumatic fever anymore. I haven't heard of it for years. But when I was a young boy, I had rheumatic fever. And they really didn't think I was going to die. They figured if I lived 2 years, it would be fine. This shows you, you know, because now here I am, you know, 91 years old. In January, I'll be 71 years old in the Lord, because I was 21 when I trusted the Lord as my Savior. And of course, what year are we in? We're 23? Yeah. So anyway, but my birthday's in June. I have to wait. Saved in July or in January. So I have eternal life. How do I know that I have eternal life? The same way that you do. God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that, I'm his child. And because I believed on him, I have eternal life. And when I read the scriptures, I find out I don't have eternal life for any reason other than the Lord loved me and gave himself for me. But God is not a respecter of persons, so he didn't just die for me. He died for everyone in the world. You know? And by the various religions of the world, he's disdained and put away by virtually all, so that we have people in this age who say, I'm a Christian. Well, there are lots of people who say, I'm a Christian. What do you think I am, a pagan? You know? I mean, that's where they come back. And no, being a Christian, you have to become a Christian. You have to be born into the family of God. You're not a Christian naturally. We live in America. America has historically been, quote unquote, a history or a Christian nation. Well, if I take you back and tell you some of the things that Thomas Jefferson believed, and various other ones in our, you know, Congress and so on and so forth, what they believe. And we're in the largest religious system in America was Unitarianism, which doesn't believe in the deity of Christ. And it was the largest element back then. Okay, now, you come to know God by coming to know his Son. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God. No. But if you deny the deity of Jesus Christ, you deny the existence of God. So, let's pick up here. These Jews in Peter's confession, they're all important, and we read about them. But we have to recognize that in the book of Matthew, we're dealing with Jews. We're dealing with Jews. Some of them were Sadducees. The Sadducee was the modernistic Jew. He basically didn't believe anything. All his religion was about my good life. Yeah. And, of course, if he died in that condition, he went to hell. The Pharisees, they believe we're the children of God. And those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ amongst the Pharisees were indeed children of God. Anyone that's going to make it to heaven has to be a child of God. If you don't have any interest in spiritual matters whatsoever, the chance of you becoming a child of God is what? Nil and none. You know, nil. That means nothing. None. That means nothing. You don't have any chance because Jesus said, I'm what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we have an inheritance in the things of God. But we enter into that inheritance. Now, my mother and dad's lives, they were churchgoers. I didn't know it because when I was just a baby, there was a fight. And my dad said, "This makes no sense. If I go to church and fight, I'm not going." Well, in those days, there was more truth available than there is now. So he could just change churches. He made the mistake and didn't. He just quit. And then when I'm 21 years old and in the Air Force, and my dad's 44, I get a telegram that my dad has died. Yeah. And so then I made the arrangements. That's why I was home in January. And I want to go back to what the simplicity of what my mother did. And don't think of, it's not just as simple with you. We arrived on Saturday after, because we drove from Spokane and on down, and I can remember driving Oregon. We were coming down through Central Oregon, and you couldn't get over 15 miles an hour in that particular car with that particular set of tires. It was a brand new Chevrolet with street tires. And street tires are worthless on ice. And I couldn't get that car over 15 miles an hour without it wanting to break loose and shimmy, you know, run the risk of falling off into a ditch. You know. Miserable driver. I was sure glad when I got that passed out, but you know, it didn't belong to me. It was belonged to the, you know, that may be why he asked us to go. It was a funeral director from Belsar. I was riding with him. Why don't you drive this car on this black ice? Yeah. No, it's just a matter of death and funerals. And recently we've had people who have died. And people say, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. You know, Paul besought the Lord how many times for the problem that he had after he was saved? He besought him three times. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So really, I think praying for anything more than three times is not necessary. God knows it. He's omniscient. And he has the inclination to answer our prayers. But then a constant acting, asking, I said acting and I mean asking, what does that promote? Do you really believe me? No. And on the other side of the coin, have you ever once in your life spoken to me about eternal life? Very often, not both those go together. So we need to recognize who we are and that we do have a responsibility in this world. But I want you to know that not a single soul who shall be saved, you know, will fail to be saved. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, God wants everybody to be saved. But one of the Jews said to Jesus, what? I will not have this man to rule over me. Well, if he's going to be my Savior, he has to be my ruler too. Okay. So sometimes people's spiritual condition, they really don't believe. People do not believe in hell. You hear it all the time. All full of humanism, all full of emotionalism. Surely God wouldn't send me to hell for just not believing on him. That's exactly the reason he's going to send everyone to hell that hasn't believed on him. God spoke. Is what he says credible? Did he actually come born of a virgin, born under the law, to redeem them under the law? Did he actually go to the cross of Calvary where he was beaten beyond human recognition, bore the judgment of your sin and my sins because without the shedding of blood there's no remission? Did he actually do those things? Well, talk to your friends about it. This part, I don't want anybody in the world to wonder about whether I'm saying, well, he was in the ministry for nearly 70 years, so maybe he made it. No, I'm not going to heaven because of who I am. You're not going to heaven because of who you are. If you're going to heaven, you're going because at some point in time, through the preaching of the Word of God, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in order to take care of our sins, he says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, if you don't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not stumping for the behavior of any of us at any point in time. And I'm not saying this to pick on anybody. I'm not saying this to point out anybody. But the bottom line is, God says you have to come and believe, and if you do, you have eternal life. Period. What about my sins? Their sins and iniquities will I remember when? No more. Because I bore the judgment for them on the cross of Calvary. Who are the best friends of me in the world? Other believers. Not necessarily family. Jesus' family didn't come to believe on him till after his death. And they mocked him. In his public ministry, just read the scriptures. You'll see that. So it's not an easy thing, and I'm not crying or moaning or groaning for any reason, but it's not an easy thing to serve the Lord. But if you commit to it, you're committed to it. There's no, I'm going to be a preacher a week. And I'll tell you a story, and I don't like telling it, because I know my brother was a believer. But in January 2007, my mother died, and we went down to California to preach the funeral. Now, what was supposed to happen was this. Dale is the speaker. Dale's in the ministry. Now, Gene, the older brother, he's been asked to read a poem. Now, my brother's dead. I'm not grousing about anything. But when it came time for Gene to read a poem, he got up and said, I'm not very good at reading poems. Now, about the time that I was called in the ministry, Gene was called in the ministry. I went into the ministry. He didn't. So at my mother's death, naturally then, I'm asked to be the speaker. So when Gene gets up, they'd given him a poem to read. He said, I'm not very good at reading poems. Now, Gene preached a good message. it was accurate all the way, but he stole my spot. When he was supposed to read a poem, turned the pulpit over to me so that I could bring the service. He said, well, I don't read poetry very well. So I went on. It must have been a contest. What is more important, preaching the truth of the Word of God or reading poetry? Preaching the truth of the Word of God. But he didn't read the poetry, so what must be more difficult? It must be more difficult to read a poem than to preach. I don't think so. Not if you're going to preach anything of any substance. Yeah. The entire book. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And so, Jesus did that. And now I'm in a quandary. It's time for me to preach. So what do I do? Well, I just left it alone, ignored the fact that I didn't read the poem, didn't make any wise corrects about it, but I've thought of a bunch since. It's the nature of me, Well, let's see, we had a contest to find out what was more difficult, reading a poem or reading the Bible. Apparently reading the Bible is easier. That's what you have to assume from what he did, right? Well, I know he didn't believe that. I don't believe it. But it was a matter of big brother ego. Yeah. All right, where am I? Let's pick up at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, saying, okay, I'll just ask you, whom do men say that I am? Who is it? Various answers. Most people would not admit in a moment that Jesus is God. He's God, the Son of God, very God of God. He is the only God with whom we will ever have to do. And because of children's versions of different books of the Bible and the stories and all that type of thing, we tend to fantasize Jesus Christ. No, Jesus Christ is a real person. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He became a man so he could take a human body. Why did he need a human body? So he could redeem us, because without the shedding of blood, it's what?
No remission.
None of you, not me, no one, anywhere in the world, despite what the devil taught, no one's going to heaven because of their knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil can take you one place, to hell. Period. And so what do you say? Well, I have to do something. So I make up, well, this is Christian living. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't spit. I don't chew. And I don't go out with little girls that do. I wait for the more mature ones to come along. There's a joke there, folks.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't joke about things like that. But the truth of the matter is what? Down this world, there's not a just man that doeth good and sinneth not in this room. Look out to the windows to the south, to the west, to the east. Oh, I got it backwards or somewhere. The west is over here, the east is over here. And to the north. Look in any direction. Unless that individual that you see, if there are having people be people driving by, or riding their bicycles, or out strolling the dog in the morning, see them all the time, they're going to hell. I don't mean that to say, look at me. No. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to hell too. There's not a just man. upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now you pick up a child's Bible, so to speak, and they have drawings of Jesus and of Moses and different ones, and they might show Jonah and the whale and all that type of thing, you know, trying to make it easy for the kids to understand. This book cannot be understood with the natural mind by anybody. Take Einstein, the greatest mathematical mind, physically minded people, whatever they were in the world, if they've lived and died without Jesus Christ, they're in hell. They don't get any breaks because I discovered the steam engine by watching a pot boil. You want to watch a steam pot boil and it's got a whistle on it. Pretty soon it builds up enough steam to pass through that whistle and blow it. But what happens if you put that same liquid on, bring it up, but now we'll seal the lid. It can't reduce or let any steam go. What's going to happen? It's going to blow up. So, what is going to happen? Jesus, there's only one Savior. He's Jesus. He lived his life as a Jew. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and he fulfilled all righteousness. He was put to death by the common people. Jewish Sanhedrin and Romans really were behind it. But then after 3 days and three nights, and there are not 3 days and three nights from, think about it now, from Friday afternoon to Sunday while it was yet dark. Now, if it's still dark, it's not Sunday yet. It's, it's still Saturday night. It has to dawn upon the first day of the week. The Jews judge it a day from sunset to sunset. So the whole Christian world promotes an idea that Christ was crucified on Friday, placed in tomb at sunset, and rose from the dead while it was yet dark on Sunday morning. If you were a Jew, and you knew the scriptures that promised those things, would you see them fulfilled in a Friday burial and a Saturday night resurrection? No. But the whole Christian world does. Jesus taken, 6 days before Passover, ultimately he ends in Bethany, and then from Bethany he comes to Jerusalem, makes his triumphal entry and all that. They capture him. They crucified him on Wednesday. He was crucified on Wednesday, was placed in the tomb at the beginning, sunset, of Jewish Thursday night. So he's in the scriptures, Jewish Thursday night, Thursday day. Friday night, Friday day. Saturday night, Saturday day. As soon as it reached Saturday, on that Friday, sun's going down. Now we're in the Sunday. I don't know whether I said that right or not, but we got Friday day or Saturday day. At sunset on Saturday is the beginning of Jewish Sunday. The traditional view never gets to Jesus, because when the woman came to the tomb, it was still dark. Now, I'm putting a lot of things out there that people will say, oh, see there, it's not true. No, it is true. Tradition makes it untrue. Yeah. And people are already playing with Santa Claus and Jingle Bell. We're not that far away. Well, who made Jesus born on December 25th? It certainly wasn't God. But along about the third century after he was raised from the dead, a Roman pope said that Jesus was born on December 25th. There is no evidence whatsoever to support that. Yet the whole world believes it. Then when we get into Luke's gospel and read, and we see that the shepherds were watching their flock by night. They don't do that in the wintertime. The only time shepherds watch their flocks by night, well, they might do it a little bit during the summer. I don't know that much about raising sheep anymore. But they had to do it in those days because they kept the sheep in a sheepfold, which with all those males and females crowded in there, the females dropping ewes and falling down sometimes themselves. Yeah. What would happen to a ewe that was newly dropped on in the floor with sheep crowding all around? You're not going to have very many that survive. They're going to be trampled to death. So that's why nobody asks any questions. You know, sometimes I've come up with some rather odd ideas in Scripture, and the longer I study it, the more I search, I find I'm absolutely right. You know, and then you get to talk to somebody and try to show them. They don't want to hear any of the evidence. I did that with Christ being crucified. On when Steve placed in the tomb, Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day. Saturday day is the last day of the week. What happens at sunset? It's Sunday morning. When did the people come to the tomb? Yeah, they came to the tomb while it was yet dark. So they got there while it was still Saturday. Yeah. But then as soon as the sun came up, now it's Sunday day. And then we see them in the upper right room later on Sunday night. It bothers me because we are told as believers in Jesus Christ, we're told, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, ready to divide and work the word of truth. Now, I recognize you guys you're not Greek scholars. You don't read Hebrew. You don't read Greek. You don't have the libraries to enable you to do it, even if you were interested. You know? But these are the men that do know these things are the ones that have passed off the false ideas. But everything that happened, Christ was crucified on Wednesday, spent three full nights, 24 or 72 hours in the grave. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Lord be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Why do we say days first? Well, the day precedes the night. And in the Jewish calendar, on the same day, at sunset this afternoon, it's going to be tomorrow, Jewish time. But for us, it's not until midnight. So we use Roman time. And in those days, the Jews used Jewish time, you know. And we just have to recognize the difference. And you cannot recognize or not recognize, reconcile the latter week of the Lord Jesus Christ's life, unless you look at some of these things. You know, that's why Eric is told, study to show yourself approved unto God. He's a workman, but he has to, you know, be a workman that does what? What is rightly dividing? Okay, well, we'll do it instead of dividing. Well, we could divide too. Yeah, divide's a good word. Okay, I'm going to put up 26 on this bulletin. Okay. And I'm going to divide 26. I got to make it easy so I can do it. 22 into 26. Well, 2 goes into 2 one time, and 2 goes into 23, 6, 3 times. I'm sorry, I'm not using the new math for those who are forced to use it. So it's 13. Just that quickly, you have the answer. Do you realize in school our kids are being taught to do math that Ava back here, they gave her a problem to do. We've taught her how to do math and all that type of thing. She gives them the answer immediately. And the teacher, mind you, the teacher says, can anyone else show us another way? Yeah. And they went to their common core way. And I don't know what time it was when they started, but they did.
Was that? 7 minutes they were still trying to figure it out.
Oh, in 27 minutes they hadn't figured it out. You know, it wasn't a difficult division problem. You know, 27 minutes and they didn't know how to approach it. So they've got all this new math and everything. And we get into new technologies and so forth. And say, we can do things differently. No, the old way is still the best way. You know, and I found that out when they actually taught it when I was in the Air Force. I started electronic fundamentals. And in that electronic fundamental class, we met for 3 hours as a class. Then we had lunch, and we met 3 hours also as a class. But the first 3 hours were theory, the last 3 hours were lab, okay? And we began with general math, and we went all the way through calculus in 2 weeks. And on that Friday night, at the end of 2 weeks of doing this, there wasn't anyone in that room, no matter what their majors were, their backgrounds were, or any of the sort, thing of the sort, they could all do calculus. I've forgotten how to do calculus. I've forgotten how to do most of those things. Why? Because I don't use them, you know. If you don't use it, you lose it, you know. And so it's important for us to exercise in the fundamentals of God. And I didn't get anywhere close to where I wanted to go today. I started telling war stories. But I think that the Lord uses those kinds of things to teach us things, lay them on our heart, recognize it. You know, I can do anything I want. I'm not going to be here much longer. You know? No, I don't say that. That shouldn't, you know, because I think if I go, you go. But the bottom line is, no, I have no idea. I'm 71 years old, going to be, I'm 91 years old. Well, can I cheat a little bit on my age? You girls do it all the time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we thank you for the simplicity of the things that you gave me to speak to us about. And along with that simplicity, everything that Jesus said he was going to do, everything that Jesus said he had done, or let's put it this way, everything the scripture says Jesus did, he did. And everything it said that he was going to do, he did. And that in Jesus Christ he lives, and because he lives, we live also. And we're not very far from the time when they put him to death in the scriptures. But no man took his life from him. They couldn't, he's God. But he willingly gave his life for my life and his life for each individual's in this room's life. And if we believe that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, that simple, singular fact says that I have eternal life and that I shall never perish. People say, well, I saw you drink a beer. Yeah, I probably drank more than one beer in my life. I saw you do this or do that. Oh, I saw you ogle that good-looking girl. Yeah, I'm human. And so, Father, we pray as we lay these things out, we're not being trying to be flip or make things of an unimportant age, but unimportant fact, but of a very important fact. Salvation's available to everyone. Salvation is simple. Salvation does not require any kind of conduct on my part. Salvation's of the Lord, and it's a gift which he's given to me. And at that point in time when you gave it to me, you alone quickened it, or you alone could make it alive to me, so I have believed it, and I did. And now I have such comfort in my old age. I may joke about how much longer I'm going to live. Only you know. But whether it's a day or whether it's a few minutes, a few hours, a few days, or a few years, it makes no difference. When the time for me to come home comes, you're going to take me. And when the time for all of us are to come in the rapture, you're going to take us. And we need to recognize to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to depart and be with Christ is far better. This doesn't make us just quit working or quit being productive or planning, but this enables us to see no matter what you have for us, and we don't know what our lives will bring, but whatever you have for us, if we do what you say, not forsake the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, we will be able to cope in these final days. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.